pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The Soccer Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use the code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today. We're also brought to you by Game Time. Game Time tickets make the perfect holiday gift. Sign up at gametime.co and use promo code CFBX for $20 off. That's gametime.co and the promo code CFBX.
Virgil, you kept knocking on the door, but is the overriding emotion as you stand there now, frustration?
100%. If you see how we play the game, how we obviously having most of the ball and creating some opportunities, I think there was only one team, I think, that were trying to win the game, and unfortunately it didn't happen. But yeah, so that's why it's frustrating, because, you know, we want to win every game, of course, but especially if you play against a team like them.
What more could you have done?
I think make a better decision in the end.
Just that final third.
Yeah, sometimes we shot too easy, or could have, you know, pass it to the overlapper maybe, but, you know, it's from the outside it's very easy to, and for me as well, sometimes from the back it's easy to judge the situation, but I think the right decision sometimes was lacking, but yeah, hopefully we carry on, of course, and I don't doubt that either, but obviously it's frustrating because you were superior in all aspects and from the very first beginning, and they were hoping on a couple of counter attacks like to hurt us on the break, and yeah, in the end, you know, they are buzzing with a point and we are very disappointed with a point.
Yeah, you said only one team was trying to win it. Did you expect them to be maybe as compact and deep as they were?
Yes, obviously they're not in the best phase, so, you know, coming here, then you're aware of the threat that we have. But you know, I want to look at my own side more or less, and we should have won it today, and that's a disappointing thing. But we have big games coming up, so we can't dwell on it too long, and we won't. We have to learn from certain situations. I definitely know that we won't.
Did their form coming into this and what happened in this fixture back in March, did it create a strange feeling, expectation around the match?
It's all about from the outside world, the perception that, you know, there was only one team that could have a positive outcome, I think, in today's game, and whether they won, lose, whatever. But for us, I think if I remember correctly, last year we didn't come in with a good feeling towards the Man United game, and we won the game convincingly, of course, last year, but last year don't count now, and this is a game on its own, as always have been, because it means more. It means more to us, means more to the fans, and unfortunately we couldn't win.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So usually we open up the show with a clip from the previous game, but the previous game was Manchester United getting a 0-0 draw at Anfield, a very respectable point. Nobody has got anything at Anfield this season. Liverpool had a 100% record at home in all competitions until they faced United. That's not to say United did well or played well in that game. They did do well, but they didn't play well. But they did ride their luck and they did come away with a point. And that was the Virgil van Dijk interview instead. A very controversial interview that got a lot of people talking. One of these people was Roy Keane. We are going to play his response shortly. Before we do that, let me welcome you to BetMUFC here on the Soccer Gambling Podcast. You can follow BetMUFC on X at BetMUFC. That's at BetMUFC. You can follow the Soccer Gambling Podcast on X at SGP Soccer. That's at SGP Soccer. And you can also follow my other X account as well. That is at LockBettingX. That's at LockBettingX. That is the account where I post free plays and my P&L profit and loss spreadsheet every single month. The pin tweet on that account will always be the P&L from the previous month, and my P&Ls add up to 126 months in a row of transparent and track profit. If you want to see the rest of them, just head over to lockbetting.com or scroll down the X account. When you look at my spreadsheets, you will see that we sensibly manage a bankroll. We don't chase losing plays with bigger plays. There's no 5-unit plays, 10-unit plays, 20-unit play, well plays, max plays, any of that nonsense, play of the year, none of that shit. Just sensible bankroll management that leads to a monthly profit on a monthly basis, making this hobby more fun. It's a hobby where if you have a disposable income, you can use it to get involved in sports betting. It's not a way to settle your debts. It's not a way to get out of problems. It is just a hobby, but we can make it a more profitable hobby. And in turn, that will make it a more fun one over at lockbetting.com. If you have any questions, shoot me a DM at the X account at LockBettingX. You can also follow the Sports Gambling Podcast Network on X as well at the SGP Network. That's at the SGP Network, or the other account as well at Gambling Podcast. That's at Gambling Podcast. So that is the housekeeping out of the way. We can now move on with the show. And as I mentioned, Roy Keane responded to those comments, that interview by Virgil van Dijk, and he offered up a very critical and very fiery response. So have a listen to this.
Obviously, we heard van Dijk speaking there. Obviously, a lot of arrogance coming out of him, dishing United like that. He needs a reminder himself. He's playing for a club who's won one title in 30-odd years. He's saying only one team wanted to win. Man United are buzzing with the point. Man United are in a difficult place. Like Liverpool have been in a difficult place for many a year. So maybe that bit of arrogance backfired on him today.
I don't know if it was arrogance, personally.
That's arrogance. He said Man United were buzzing. Only one team came to play. Yeah. Listen, I've come to many times here when I was at United, when Liverpool were in a tough place. Mm. And they were happy with a draw. Yeah, United will take the ball. But I think the addition like that saying, oh, they're buzzing, they're only one team wanted to win. United have one or two chances, United are up against it. Mm. And sometimes players need a reminder when they're playing for clubs like Liverpool, and everyone's saying Man United are this and that. Yeah, United are in a bad place, but for many a year, Man United were in a good place. And he wouldn't be disrespecting clubs like he is.
I think he's not disrespecting a club. I think he's disappointed at how Liverpool have performed. Looking at the stats, looking at the way in which they controlled the game, I think he's thinking, well, if they had a higher line, if they had tried to maybe break us down, maybe we could have had counter-attacks. There weren't many counter-attacks for Liverpool today. It was mainly them controlling the game, trying to break United down. There were moments there where there were like 8-9 people in a line on the edge of the box. So we're talking
That's
about...
Arrogance. That's
it's arrogance. It's not arrogance, it's arrogance for me. Well. I don't think it's arrogance.
It's just frustration.
It is frustration, but it's torn when he's talking about Man United. As if they'd turn up. Turn up and beat Man United. Wait, listen, we were all expecting the worst, yeah. But you still have to go out and do it. That's what great teams do. And that's what teams who win championships every year do. The Man Cities or the Man United or the Liverpool of the 80s. He's got to remember where he's coming from. Am I right? Liverpool once in 30-odd years have won the league.
One in 33.
Right. He needs a reminder himself. Because sometimes you do get carried away yourself. Oh, we should be turning up and beat Man United. As I said, I can only go back on my own experience. We played Liverpool many a time when Liverpool was struggling. And Liverpool would take a draw and they'd be happy. I've come here and took a draw and be happy. But you wouldn't be slagging the team off going on.
What would you want him to say, Roy? What would you want him to say? Would you want him to say, I'm happy with a point against Man United who at this present moment aren't performing at the same level we are? I don't think he's disrespecting Man United saying they're miles off the pace, the club's nowhere near it. He's saying...
They're buzzing with the draw. There's only one team who wanted to come and win.
We're at home, We expected to come here today and try and get a result. We expected them to come here with the notion of trying to win the game. I'm not saying Manchester United went out there and said, we're not trying to win today. But
you find different ways to win a football match. Just because they had 30-odd shots or loads of possession and corners, that doesn't win you football matches. We've watched many a game here where a team would get one chance to score and we said, listen, they were clinical. And United had one or two chances towards the end.
Do you think they showed ambition, Manchester United, today?
No, I just thought they were under huge pressure and they sat in and they played to kind of the strengths they had today. It wasn't great to watch Man United today, but like we said before the game, if you offered United a draw, they would have been delighted with it. And Liverpool would have been disappointed. But it also arrogance comes into football, and it can happen where you go away where you're disappointed with a draw, but sometimes you have to go back and go, you have to take the draws. You can't win every game of football. Even if you have all these chances, the bottom line is the most important stat is the scoreline. Every week we get stats thrown at us, possession. It's about putting the ball in the back of the net. That's why the strikers are vital. That's why they get all the big bucks. You've got to put the ball in the back of the net. So wherever but Man United buzzing or Man United this, Liverpool had opportunities and they didn't take them. That's their own fault. Nothing to do with Manchester United or the way Manchester United set up or Man United injuries or whatever it might be. And as I said, I've played Liverpool many a time and let me tell you, they were pretty pleased with a draw. And you give them, you say, well, listen, fair play, no problem. So this idea,
I didn't like his message. You felt like he dissed Man United.
Yeah,
I
think he's out of order. But listen, that's just.
I don't think he did. I don't think he dissed Man United. I think there's a level of respect there. I think there's respect. I think every footballer around the world has respect.
But we can disagree on
Manchester United. I'm not going to say dissing them. I just think he's disappointed that Liverpool didn't go out there today and do what they thought they would be able to do. It didn't work out for them. They tried their best. They couldn't break them down. Man United got a result.
Well, we see him against Arsenal this week, so maybe Arsenal might come and try and win the game, you know?
Yeah, this is a very Liverpool thing to do. Jurgen Klopp's done it a few times as well, where they complain about the other team's tactics. The tactics of the other team didn't suit them because they weren't able to play in a wide open end-to-end game which suits Liverpool. Liverpool have a tendency to complain about it. Look, you have to break teams down. If you have superior attacking options, it's not going to be to the other team's benefit to go toe-to-toe with you. If Man United had gone toe-to-toe with Liverpool in this game, then it would have been the result that everybody expected. It would have been the result that I expected last week when I locked up Liverpool to cover an Asian handicap line. I did not expect Man United to set up that way. I did not expect Man United to be able to achieve it. I did say on the show that maybe there's a possibility that Manchester United do that, but I did not expect them to be able to achieve it. I did not think the discipline was there. And the fact that it was, I think that was an impressive performance. It showed me something, and it mainly showed me that the players were playing for Erik ten Hag still, at least the ones on the pitch, and we're going to listen to ten Hag shortly. But you can't complain about what other teams do just because you didn't have it your own way. You need to be able to break teams down. This is going to be the situation from time to time if you are a top team, and if you can't deal with it, then you're not a top team. It's as simple as that. And it does seem to be Liverpool who are the main team who complain and complain and complain about it because the stylistic matchup doesn't suit them and doesn't favour them to allow them to have their way and do whatever they want to do and be able to dictate the game in the way that they want to dictate. It's just absolute nonsense. It is arrogance. It's crybaby behaviour from Virgil van Dijk, and it's usually the crybaby behaviour that we associate with Jurgen Klopp, crying about the way teams play, crying about kickoff times. Just shut the fuck up and play the game. It's just all very, very Liverpool, and just adds to their overall dislikability as a football club, along with their supporters. Before we do listen to Erik ten Hag, as I just mentioned, and look ahead to tomorrow's game away to West Ham, let me take this quick pause to tell you guys about Underdog Fantasy. Underdog has a way to play alongside your favourite fantasy players all season long. NFL, NBA, NHL, college basketball and college football. Simply pick higher or lower on your favourite players' fantasy stats and cash in. So watch along, make your picks and maybe make a little cash over on Underdog's mobile app or website, underdogfantasy.com. When you sign up with our promo code SGPN, Underdog will double your first deposit of up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy and the promo code SGPN.
I mean, you haven't scored for three games. and you're one of the lowest scorers in the Premier League. I know in the past you've defended Rasmus Højlund, and it's not just about one player, but why are you struggling to score goals so much?
Oh, first of all, I think we've played very strong teams with Liverpool and Bayern Munich. That's obvious. And then before we had a poor game, as we have seen. But I think, there are always issues. But yeah, we know also we have to improve. And so in our game, I think we played very good at Bayern Munich and against Liverpool. But we should have created more chances. And then, of course, we should have been more clinical in such moments.
Is it about getting more players into scoring situations, or do you believe you're creating the chances, just not taking them?
I think we can definitely improve. So it's not about one player, but it's about a totally group of us. So as you know, my philosophy, we have to attack with 11. So it's not only about one player, but it's about everyone. And we have to get the movements better, the decisions, so the ball decisions, decision making on the ball has to be better. And sometimes also, we have to be more clinical. I think the best chance on Sunday in Liverpool was ours, and it was a great attack.
Eric, the European Super League is back on the agenda this week. What do you make of the revised concept, the new format with promotion and relegation?
I refer to the statement the club brought out yesterday.
The club's position's clear, obviously. The court have ruled, though, essentially it's changed the footballing landscape in some way, shape or form. Do you think that change is inevitable within European football at some point in the future?
So I have to look then in more detail if I want to express an opinion about that.
And can I just ask you about January, about transfers? Do you know yet whether you're going to have money to spend? Do you want to strengthen the squad next month?
So the current squad, so I'm happy. So as we get our players back, I'm sure we have a good squad. I think a lot of our, the way it went in the first season of the reasons behind, because many players were not available, and I'm sure when all the players are available on board, and it looks like, as I said, Casemiro will be back, Martinez will be back, Mason Mount will be back, we will be much stronger after the winter.
Ian. Eric, just to pick up on what Simon was asking you about before with the lack of goals, I understand it's not just about one player, but Rasmus Højlund is a very young man. He's come to a big club, a different league, a different country, and not scored in the Premier League yet. I just wonder how personally you think he's coping with the pressure and going so long without a first goal in the league.
Yeah, of course we are open, and and also he is open, and I think he is... His mentality is great, and he's I think he's a very good performer under stress, and he deals with that. But it's not only about Rasmus Højlund; it's also about Marcus Rashford, it's also about Garnacho, it's also about Anthony, it's also about Bruno Fernandes, and it's also about Scott McTominay. So there are many, and don't forget our fullbacks, who has to be a big part in that. I'm sure we work on that fact as a group, from offensive players or who are in offensive, who are contributing there or who should contributing there, and I'm sure we will improving, and especially if our squad is full accompanied and then is better in balance, and then we should create more chances.
Yeah, lots of stuff there about United's lack of goals. I think in tomorrow's game against West Ham, we're probably going to need at least two goals to come away with anything from that game. Two goals could be enough to win it, but we're definitely going to need to find the back of the net at least once to get something from the game. So we are going to break down that game against West Ham, and I'm going to explain that comment shortly. Before we do that, though, let me take a quick pause to tell you guys about Game Time. Have you ever been stressed trying to buy tickets on a secondary market or via a third-party site? I'm sure you have. There's always that stress of, shall I get the tickets now, or are better seats going to become available? Are there going to be tickets available for a better price? losing out on those tickets at the good price that were in a good location and then having to settle for something worse, or maybe making the purchase and waiting for the tickets to come through and then maybe getting through to the last minute and still not knowing where your tickets are and not being able to get any help from Will Call or the arena because they were purchased third party. All of this stress is something that I've experienced, and buying tickets to your favourite events shouldn't be stressful. Game Time is a fast and easy way to buy tickets for all sports, music, comedy and theatre near you with killer deals on last minute tickets and a best price guarantee. You can actually stop stressing over the tickets and start getting hyped for the fun you'll actually have at the event. So snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Game Time tickets actually make the perfect holiday gift. Download the Game Time app, create an account and use the code CFBX for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply, but again, create an account and redeem the code CFBX for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets at the lowest price guaranteed. Let me also take this pause to tell you guys about Hall of Fame Bets, where you can stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com. Use the code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
So let's close out by looking at Manchester United's trip to the London Stadium where they will play against West Ham. This has been a difficult place for many teams to go so far this season. I expect nothing different for Man United, which probably explains why United are actually an underdog. I don't remember the last time United were an underdog going to West Ham. That's probably not a good thing in terms of where Manchester United are. And I've seen a lot of things like that that haven't been good this week. I'll give you an example. I was probably going to save this for the next show, but the game against Aston Villa is on Boxing Day. Now, there's three games, unless we're playing against Man City or Liverpool or Arsenal or Tottenham, there are three games that are just popular because of the date. It's the opening game of the season. It's because it's during the summer holidays and there's obviously hype for the opening game of the season. And then there's the two home games that we get during the Christmas period, whether it be on Boxing Day or the 28th or the 29th, or whether it be the New Year's Day game, the game in January and the game in December. We usually play two home games over Christmas, and they are usually immediately sold out because the dad's off work and the mum's off work and the children are off school and they want to go and the grandparents are available and the uncles and the aunties and they might be visiting and everybody's there. Everybody can go to the game and everybody wants to go to the game. Old Trafford is fully available for the Aston Villa game. You can sit anywhere. This is an Aston Villa team who are challenging for the Champions League, so it's a big game. And it's Manchester United on Boxing Day. and you can literally sit anywhere. It's like getting a ticket to Manchester City. You can sit anywhere you want. No one's interested. And that is the unfortunate situation that Manchester United are in at the moment. They're still bombarding people with emails to buy shit for Christmas, which I'm not sure many people will be interested in receiving based on how Man United have played so far this season. But it was very alarming to see that. And it's also alarming to see United as an underdog travelling to West Ham here, 8-5 underdog for this game. Does that mean I'm interested in taking United here as an underdog? It does not. I think United do have a chance of winning this game because they've had a week to prepare. We very rarely get a week to prepare. We've been playing in the Carabao Cup, but we've been playing in the Champions League. So that does put us in a better position to win this game. Obviously, West Ham did play in midweek against Liverpool and they got battered 5-1. You could argue that this is a big bounce back spot for them, but I think bounce back spots are usually for teams who underperform and now have an opportunity to put that right. I don't think West Ham are expected to beat Manchester United, and I don't think they were expected to beat Liverpool, despite the fact that they are a narrow favourite here. Manchester United are the ones who still have the better quality players on the pitch. So I do not agree with West Ham being a favourite, whilst at the same time, I cannot really make a case for Man United. So the thing I'm going to go with here is the goals. I said earlier on that Manchester United probably will need to score two goals to win this game at least, because I'm certain that West Ham will be able to find the back of the net. West Ham are very strong at home. They've won four of their last six Premier League matches coming into this, whilst Man United have won just one of their last six matches in all competitions. Whilst both teams have scored in 13 of West Ham's 17 league games so far this season. And that is the key bit of data that I'm going to attach myself to in terms of making a pick. BTTS is the standout pick. It's something that has cashed in 13 of West Ham's 17 league games so far this season, and I see no reason to get off the BTTS train. Now, obviously, with that kind of data, the selection is significantly juiced at 8-13, and therefore, it does tempt you to look tempt you to look towards the over, but the over is only significantly better priced. It's at 4-6 minus 150, and you do need another goal for that. I can see this game finishing 1-1. I can see one team getting out on front and the other team putting on the pressure for the equaliser and finding a way through. I can see the game playing out like that. I can see a 1-1 draw here. So I'm more tied to that than I am taking the over 2.5 goals. Because I think over 2.5 goals, if that cashes, both teams have scored anyway. I don't see a 3-0 win for West Ham, and I don't see a 3-0 win for United, although United have won by that scoreline away to Everton. It would take a seismic away performance like the one against Everton for Manchester United to win here. But United have performed well lately away from home. I think they played well against Liverpool. They were very good against Galatasaray. That was a great performance and we should have won that game. It was because of Andre Onana that we didn't. And of course, winning away to Everton is a result that's aging very well when you look at how Everton are moving up the table and what they've done since and how they've made a mockery of the 10-point deduction. So I think United could be a live dog here in this spot, but ultimately I have landed on BTTS. It is a short price. It's available at 8-13, but given it has cashed in 13 of West Ham's 17 league games so far this season, I think it is a play that will win money for you, as I just see both teams getting on the score sheet. United did keep a clean sheet last weekend, but they did sit back with a very, very deep low block. I don't think they're going to take the same approach against West Ham, which will represent West Ham with more scoring opportunities to penetrate here, while I do expect United to score as well. That's it for me in this edition of BetMUFC. Good luck with all of your bets as always, and thanks for listening.